This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN and the money lady, Terry Savage, the nationally syndicated financial columnist and the author of Social Security Horror Stories, is in our studio. Hi, Terry.
Hello. Interesting day.
You're busy. Interesting day because you're waiting to see what the Fed's going to say.
Well, they made it interesting today because of consumer prices. That was, everybody was expecting up 0.1% and up 0.3% year over year and the core and so forth. And actually what happened is consumer prices, as you've been hearing on the news headlines, came in flat month over month, no increase. And, you know, the Fed is not shocked by that number. They were not waiting for 7:30 Chicago time, 8:30 Eastern time this morning to get that number. They've been meeting for 2 days. They had the number. They know, and I'm sure they're all smiling and patting themselves on the back, that inflation now is a very interesting sign that it's not coming down. I mean, it's flat month over month. It's still, I hear you all out there saying, that doesn't matter. My prices are up. My this is up. My that. Yes, that's true. But from the Fed's point of view, and what that number did today was put back on the table the idea of one or maybe even two interest rate cuts this year. So we're just keeping it interesting, folks, just keeping it interesting.
Well, they're not going to lower it today, but will they show their hand? Will they tell us when or how many? Or will that's well, the reading of the tea leaves?
It's very unlikely. But now the wording will change right after we get off the air in an hour. The Fed chairman will hold his press conference and all the street reporters, you know, Steve Leisman from CNBC and the Wall Street Journal, will attempt not to catch him up, but to show how sophisticated they are. And they are with, well, what about this? And if that, does this mean? And if you listened, as I did with half an ear all morning after the news came out, to all the commentators on CNBC where it's sitting on my desk tune there. Everybody's got a different way of parsing it. I'm not going to actually try and go into all their arguments. There are some that say, no, if the Fed's not too tight, we're going to, none this year. There's still a few people that believe no cuts this year. But now we're talking about, well, maybe in September before the election and not waiting till December.
What would happen if we didn't? I mean, do we need a rate cut right now?
Well, if you're out there looking for a mortgage, we need a rate cut. If you are out there thinking about, well, what's going to be best for the economy? Well, we don't want to get it overheated again. Then, no, we don't need a rate cut.
What's best for the economy? We don't need a rate cut.
Probably. There are smarter people than I who will say the Fed is already too tight. You aren't just seeing it yet in numbers. I mean, employment is good and everything, but any minute we're going to topple into a recession. So it's hard to turn around a big ship, and they should start cutting now. That's one argument. I don't happen to believe it. But if you're a realtor out there who wants to get, you know, commissions going again, if you're a home buyer who wants to buy, great. If you're a saver, you don't want to see T-bill rates go down. I'll have to take a look when we go to break about what happened. But rates on the 10-year Treasury went down. That means mortgage rates. You just heard on our news. 18 basis points now back under 7%.
Mind you, 6.98, but that's six something.
It's something. It's a psychological sum more than anything else.
Dennis Rodkin and Elise Ling both responded to this. Elise said that she thinks the reason that people aren't selling their homes is not so much interest rates, but inventory. Dennis Rodkin, the residential real estate reporter for Crane, said, well, it's kind of the dog chasing his tail. There's not a lot of inventory because the interest rates are high and builders have to pay as well. So, but Elise felt that people would sell those houses, that the market would open up, if at least somewhat, if we had more inventory.
It's not there's no question about that. But anybody selling says, honey, you know, if we sell this house with our 3.12% mortgage, are we going to have to pay 7%? That's insane. We're not doing that.
Maybe first-time home buyers would also, that they're not sitting on a 3% mortgage.
Years of 2% and 3% mortgages.
Yeah, well, but those weren't the norm.
No, we had years of the Fed keeping rates way below. So now we're seeing the other side of that pendulum, which is rates being what a lot of people, especially home buyers and so forth, would call excessively high.
You never had a double-digit mortgage?
John, didn't you hear me tell that story? My house, that I love so much. The seller took back a 15% note in 1980 or 81.
15%.
And I said, I was a trader, young trader on the floor of the IMM, the monetary market at the Merck. And people were saying, we're going to be a banana republic. That was the term. Interest rates and inflation will go sky high. And I went, they cut the price of this home so dramatically because you couldn't sell it. And that's when the logjam breaks, by the way. When someone cuts the price of their home, we can come back to that. Anyway, I said, I don't believe we're going to be a banana republic. And when I refinanced it a few months later to 13 5/8 and then 9.9, and I was thinking, oh, am I smart? Of course, I paid it off. That's many years ago. But I still have the home, and I'm glad I did. And the opportunity is, if you can swing it with your own finances, if you can swing the payments, the opportunities to buy real estate come not at the peak of the market, but when people have to sell for one reason or another. Now, we have a strong, growing economy right now. No one has to sell. Has to sell typically comes when one or both of the spouses lose their job and they can't keep the mortgage payments. We better get what equity we can out of the house. That's the market, the kind of market where there's a recession. We haven't heard the word foreclosure in 10 years, 12 years.
Right.
Those are the markets in the long cycles of real estate where you get the bargains. But right now, there are no bargains because nobody's desperate to sell. And they don't want to because why give up a low mortgage?
You were looking at your phone a little while ago trying to find the numbers on that Harris poll, and I'll let you report that in just a minute, although we've talked about them.
Yeah.
And maybe you've got a question too. 312-981-7200. Terry Savage is here ready for your calls. What are you looking at, Terry Savage? What are you doing over there?
I'm selling a saddle on eBay and somebody asked about it. Sorry. You wanted me to say something very sophisticated, but
yeah, I
want to sell
the
saddle.
Breaking economic news.
No, it's not.
If anybody wants to buy a horse saddle, give us a call. you were very animated just a moment ago because I told you a graphic I just saw on TV said that over the course of the Biden administration, inflation is up 19.3%.
Wait, give the source of that.
Fox News.
And what did you say the headline was? Say it just the way you saw it.
Inflation up 19.3% during the Biden administration.
Okay. Now, let me just come back on that, not because it's political, but because, number one, inflation is not up 19%. Prices are up.
There's a difference.
Okay. And I'm not sure the 19% is what they're measuring. Yeah, because inflation is now running at about 3.3%. It was running over 9.1%. I think it was in June of 2022. And this president came in January of 2021. Now, you know what else is up over the last 4 years?
No.
You're just saying prices are up 19%. So when you said that, when I was scrambling on the big monitor here, I went to Big Charts where I look up the stock, historical stock trades. You ever want to know? I should give away all my sources. Go to bigcharts.com. It's free. And you can get charts of all the indices going backward and forward and everything else. So in January, this is pretty astounding, of 2021, the Dow was at 30,000. Today, it's 40,000. So it's up 30%. Okay? So yeah, the price of some stuff, and a lot of stuff is up more, including your homeowner's insurance. Eggs, for a while, they've come back down, but not. Anybody seen 99 cents a dozen eggs? Uh-uh. So some stuff is up more, some stuff is up less, but how about the stock market?
Yeah, right.
Up 30%.
Well, here's, Terry, you need to
Why don't they run that headline?
Because,
the average price of all the stuff in the CPI is maybe close to 20% higher than it was. But look, the stock market's up 30%, and you've got that in your pension if you work for a union or a company in your 401k plan. All you had to do is buy the S&P 500.
Terry, they wanted
to. You beat it.
The target is 3% inflation. Is that what the
Fed
want? Two.
They want to get it down to 2.
All right, well, say it's 2.5%. Over 4 years, then, doesn't that mean that, in fact, prices would be 10% higher?
No, the prices would, look,
it's
at
cumulative,
only
right?
2%.
So if
there's an index that tells you the index of consumer prices, which we never talk about, it's at an all-time high. It only crept up a teeny bit this month. Less than expected this month. But anybody out there buy a home in the 70s or 80s? Your house is quadrupled.
I want you to answer this question. You have to hear me.
Of course prices are higher.
Listen, if it's 4 times 2.5% over 4 years,
it's
then
math.
It would be,
I don't do this.
It would be 10%. It would be 10, prices would be 10% higher over 4 years.
No, because you're not calculating. You have to look at the index itself. I am not denying prices of stuff are higher, wages are higher.
I'm trying to look
for
perspective.
Your electric bill is higher.
I'm looking for perspective.
Okay, perspective.
So
but it's up less.
So, of course, over any four-year period, everything is going to be higher. That's what happens.
Pretty much, unless you get some kind of a thing like all of a sudden computer prices are lower today than they were 30 years ago.
I wonder what a reasonable expectation is over the 4 years that they were quoting on Fox News. 19 sounds high, but
well, 10 the way you write it.
But 10% to me would be ideal. The difference is 9% then. And really, even 12% would be the norm over 4 years at 3% a year, if that's the same thing.
Okay. Look, here's the rule of 72. At 3%, and divide any number into 72. So at only 3% inflation, the spending power of your money is cut in half in 25 years. Okay, so inflation is insidious. People wondered, why were we fighting inflation? Because if you live on a fixed income, number one, your standard of living drops. If you're working, you ask the boss or your union asks the boss for more wages, and you say, I'm keeping up, and then they raise the prices because they say the cost of labor is going up.
Right.
So we very rarely have periods of deflation. Sometimes, for instance, technology brings you deflation in cost of stuff. I have a big screen TV today
that'll
have cost me probably $10,000 25 years ago. So sometimes prices come down because of technological advances. But if the overall level of prices comes down, then you're talking about an economy where nobody's buying stuff.
And you're making less money.
All the manufacturers, people are out of work. All the companies are saying, well, cut prices. We've got to get rid of this inventory. We don't want to see prices coming down dramatically. We just want to see them going up only a teeny bit.
Terry Savage is here. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. And the Money Lady, the nationally syndicated financial columnist at terrysavage.com, is in our studio. This note says, hey, Terry, I want to start a Roth IRA for my granddaughter. Any preference as to what firm to use?
Well, here's the thing. You cannot start a Roth IRA for your granddaughter unless she has earned income. If she does have earned income from work, this is not interest, dividends, income she's going to declare, not so much babysitting, so I don't know how old your daughter is, granddaughter is. But sure, then why don't you teach her about a Roth IRA and let her know that she can contribute every year out of her earned income, and you'll set it up for this year, but next year you'll match her dollar for dollar, whatever she puts away. And the easiest way to set up that IRA, I presume granddaughter's got to be in, either young or in her 20s, that you should go to Fidelity or Vanguard or T. Rowe Price and say, I want to start a Roth IRA for my granddaughter. She has earned income. And you buy the S&P, Standard & Poor 500 stock index that we report on all the time. And you just keep putting money in that because over the long run, that's America. And then look how well it's done.
I wonder if she's planning on just opening up a Roth IRA for her granddaughter. That is, she'll be the custodian of this account. It's her account, but she's
if she's a minor, then you have a different story because that minor has to have and report earned income. But I just made an assumption that maybe her granddaughters have got a first job.
But if I have somebody who's...
And then it would be in her granddaughter's name alone.
Well, I've got a 3-year-old granddaughter. What should I do if I wanted to do something to help her financially?
529 plan.
Yeah, that'd be for education.
That's what you do. If you've got someone who's under 15, you open a 529 plan, give the money a chance to grow tax-free for college, and then if
how about an investment, though, outside of education? For the kids.
But you asked me for the best education investment, and it grows tax-free. I mean,
but you have to use 529 money on school, right?
Yeah, on school expenses.
Okay, so say outside of educational expenses, if you were going to save for or fund a saving vehicle for somebody else.
Well, you don't have a custodial account for a young child because if she does go to college and you don't have a 529 and she has to apply for financial aid, money in a custodial UGMA account, Uniform Gift to Minors Act account, weighs 7 times more heavily against the family and the financial aid form. What would you do to get your child interested? Maybe stamp collecting will come back in vogue. You know what I mean?
Well, or just put money, just buy
investing.
How about bonds? I mean,
but but if it's for your grandchild, you can't put it in the child's name.
Wait, you can. My kids were gifted bonds by their grandfather.
In those days, those were savings bonds and those were bearer bonds. But it's different now. And now you have this whole financial aid looming. Number one, you get penalized if you have money in a custodial account for a child when you apply. Number two, you get tax-free growth if you put it in a 529. What more do you have to do now? If you think your child is either going to be a football sensation or whatever and get a four-year scholarship, what else would you do? I would start thinking that maybe you would want to open an account where you maybe even in your name and say that I have to put it in my name because of these things, but you pick the stocks, you know?
Oh, that would be fun.
And that would be fun. And you can go to places like stockpile.com.
Where you don't have to buy whole shares.
You don't have to buy whole shares, exactly. Yeah. Even Fidelity lets you buy fractional shares now. That's worth it. I'm actually interviewing the CEO of Stockpile next week, because I want to do an update on just that very topic. It'll be a column coming up.
Terry, the IRS finally processed my 2020 tax filings after lots of pressure. They sent me my refund of $2,300, but only $21 of interest. Taxes were filed in 2020. They had my money since 2020. What gives? I think they're upset that they're only getting $21 of interest.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right, but it doesn't sound right that you're only finally getting your tax refund from 2020. So there's got to be more to the story. Right now, the IRS is paying 8% interest on refunds.
Really?
Not from the day you filed, from the date your return was due. So if you filed in February and your return was due April 16th, and there's a refund they haven't given to you, they will pay you interest. The current rate is 8%.
Annually.
But it was back in 2020, it was, I think, 3%. So that doesn't quite explain it, though. Again, don't make me do math on the air. But the fact is, there must be another story why you didn't get your refund. But if I were you, I would not question that. I would just deposit the check and say thank you.
Better that they go, oh, yeah, right.
You finally got it.
Or maybe we screwed up in
calculating the interest.
You owe us money.
Yeah, exactly. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
You're going to need to put your headphones on, Terry Savage. We're taking phone calls, too. 312-981-7200. Kathy, you're on with Terry. What can we do for you?
Thank you, John. Hi, Terry. Can you hear me all right?
Yep, I got it.
Wonderful. I was born with an incurable lung condition, and I worked for 20 years. I'm 58 now. When I stopped working more than 10 years ago, I did not take disability. I just quit working. I have now been given a prognosis of about 2 years, so I won't reach retirement age for Social Security. Is there any option besides disability payments for me to start claiming that Social Security before I die?
Actually, let me think about that for a minute. First of all, I'm sorry to hear that you've beat the odds before.
Thank you. Yes, yes.
Let me just check something.
Yeah, every day has been a bonus.
I'm sorry to hear that, Kathy, and I understand the sort of urgency of your question now. I mean,
I went 20 years without claiming anything.
I want you to get back.
All right. Stupid.
Okay. So I had to, John was stretching for me while he saw me looking at the computer. There is a benefit, a Social Security disability benefit, if you've been diagnosed with a terminal illness. In fact, your application for benefits may be expedited through the Social Security Administration's Terminal Illness Program, known as TERI.
Did you know about this? Have you heard about this, Kathy? Did you know about this before?
I have not, because what happened was, again, I did not claim disability in the last 20 years, but I was aware that if you haven't worked within, say, the last 5 years, you lose your credits, the credits that you had built up, and you can't file normal disability.
Okay,
Kathy, I'm not an expert on this, but I'll tell you what, I know someone who is. So please, everybody, post your questions on my blog, but I think this one deserves special attention. Send me an email, terry@terrysavage.com. Explain that. Include your phone number, and let me see if I can pass it on, because obviously you don't have time to get wrapped up in Social Security's insane bureaucracy. Okay?
I so appreciate
Thanks
it. Thank
calling.
You so much, both
sure.
of you.
Kathy, I'm sorry to hear that, and I'm glad that Terry's going to help, and I think that's helpful information to a lot of people. Barb has a question. You're on WGN. Barb, what can we do for you?
Yes, I start getting Social Security next month. I waited till 70,
Good
and
girl.
I've been paying my... Because of you, Terry, you tipped me off to that.
Okay.
But the problem is I've been manually paying the Medicare premiums, and I have a private prescription coverage when I retired from another company. I have it through them. The statement I got for this month is now charging me $233 for prescription Part D coverage Irma, and I don't know why. I've never paid Part D prescription coverage, and when I look online, all I keep saying is it's my problem to provide prescription coverage, which I'm doing, so I don't know where to turn.
Does your former coverage still continue once you go on Social Security?
That's one of my questions.
Okay, well, so you need to contact your current provider of prescription drug coverage and have them give you, first of all, I'm 99% sure that it will end once you go on traditional Social Security and Medicare. And since you've had the same comparable insurance provided by your employer, there should not be a penalty. Now, Irma relates to the premiums you pay for Medicare based on the income you earned in the last couple of years. That would apply also to Medicare Part D. So I'm not sure if your higher Medicare premium, they look back 2 years to your income. It's called IRMAA, Medicare Adjustment Based on Income. You can just Google that, IRMAA, Medicare Adjustment. You'll see, you can tell what you earned, so you'll know that your Medicare premium is higher. It will also impact your Medicare Part D premium. But I'm not sure whether you're being charged on Part D because you have delayed taking Part D, and I know that your employer can provide assurance that you, in fact, do have coverage.
Good place to start, Barb. Good luck to you on that. And Terry, thank you for that answer. We've got questions about 529 plans and T-bills and more. 312-981-7200 for Terry Savage. More business news first, though. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A lawsuit's been filed against Chicago-based Conagra Brands over the ingredients of its fish products. The suit, which seeks class action status, claims two of the company's seafood products contain a suspected toxic filler. The complaint alleges Van de Kamp's and Mrs. Paul's fish products contain fillers made of rubber, paint, and antifreeze, which along with extra water artificially inflates the weight of the fish. The filler is identified as sodium tripolyphosphate. Cranes reports the lawsuit seeks damages in excess of $5 million for false advertising and misleading consumers. Conagra Brands did not immediately respond to Crane's request for comment. Some good news on the office vacancy rate in the suburbs. Wheels Incorporated has signed a lease for more than a quarter of the Zurich North America building in Schaumburg. The fleet management and mobility solutions firm has leased about 200,000 square feet in the building, which sits along the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway. The building is near the former Motorola campus and a planned entertainment district around the Schaumburg Renaissance Hotel and Convention Center. Wheels will bring hundreds of employees to the building. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Okay, now the business of food, and here's Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. Yesterday, we heard about Kerrygold, the Irish butter and cheese brand that has carved out a big chunk of the U.S. market over the past 25 years. And the milk it uses for butter and cheese comes from about 14,000 dairy farmers in Ireland. And today, we will hear from one of them.
My name is Anthony O'Shea.
We will hear how Irish dairy farming differs, or not, from American dairy farming. After, I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. I was driving, not a Silverado, unfortunately, near Bantry on the beautiful southwest coast of Ireland, and I saw a herd of Holsteins grazing on a lush green hillside, sparkling in the sunshine. Just beautiful. So I pulled into the farmyard, unannounced. The dogs barked, of course. Anthony and Ann O'Shea invited me into their kitchen, and while Ann was doing some cooking, Anthony told me a bit about farming in Ireland.
I'm a seventh-generation farmer in this island. How many cows do you milk?
I milk 36.
36 is on the small side for Irish farms. An ag official there told me the average is between 75 and 100 cows, with the largest farms topping out around 500. Over here, the USDA says the average is between 1,000 and 5,000 cows, and the largest operations have 15,000. Anthony says he makes a living with his 36 cows, thanks to what he says are cows that produce 1.5 times more milk than larger dairy farm cows. Why is that, Anthony?
TLC.
TLC.
We talked about his concerns, and they are much the same as I hear from American dairy farmers. Too many government regulations, for one.
Oh, they're going to choke everything up. It isn't so much the regulations on the quality of the milk, but it's the regulations to get the milk.
He says regulations around manure management are especially cumbersome, and then there's the issue that farmers worldwide share.
Climate is the biggest challenge.
And he says it started raining in July of last year and pretty much has not stopped, with a colder than usual winter and spring.
The barley and the wheat, some of it isn't planted at all yet, so if they don't get September and October, we're in a right sh**.
Anthony's been at it 49 years. He has a son he hopes will be able to keep the farm going, but he has an off-farm job to make ends meet.
Yeah, he's an electrician, yeah.
Do you have a job in town?
Me, no, no.
And Anthony has a somber prediction.
The family farm will die and die fast.
The accent may be different, but a lot of the concerns are the same as over here. Anthony O'Shea, a dairy farmer near Bantry along the southwestern Irish coast. Thank you, sir.
No bother.
On the food calendar, it's National Peanut Butter Cookie Day and National Jerky Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Terry Savage is in our studio. The Money Lady, the nationally syndicated financial columnist at terrysavage.com. Hey, Terry, what if you put money in a 529 and then your child or grandchild does not go to college?
Well, another child in the family can use it, and maybe a brother, a sister, or a first cousin, siblings in the same family can use it. Under the new law, there's a new opportunity. You can roll over up to $35,000 of a 529 that's unused to a Roth IRA. It's got to be a Roth IRA in the beneficiary's name. The beneficiary, the child, now adult, must be working, and can this year can put in up to $7,000. The account has to be more than 15 years old.
Without penalty, you can
without
do
this? Penalty. Yeah.
Wow, that's new, right? I thought it.
That was in the late. It's now 18 months tax law.
I thought every dollar had to be used on education.
No. Let's do more questions. Now you get to roll over an unused 529 to a Roth. If the account was open 15 years, the person, the beneficiary, now a young adult, earns up to $7,000. You can do it every year up to the contribution limit. So you can do it over a number of years. And it's a great new thing. So, or another family member.
This is Wendy. You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'll try to make it brief. I am 65. My husband died like 5 years ago, and I get his Social Security check 6 months out of the year because I make too much, they say. So my question is, when I'm 70, can I switch
I'm gonna
over
stop
to mine
you.
And get the...
Wendy?
What's the matter?
I don't understand. I get that 6 months out of the year. I'm going to tell you right immediately where to go. And they will help you through this, and they will tell you what the correct strategy is. There are always too many moving parts, and I think you've been misled anyway already. So go to MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com, pay $39. They will help you sort out the best way, and you should do it immediately. There's the old widow scam, and I want to make sure, sorry for your loss, that you didn't succumb to that by electing both your benefits and your spouse's benefits, and they're paying you the difference. There's a huge lawsuit being filed, a class action suit, because the attorney general's, the controller, one of the big offices, the Office of Inspector General, ruled against Social Security in this, and they still haven't paid back millions of dollars to widows. Go immediately. MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. Sign up. Post on my blog at TerrySavage.com and tell me what happens. I want to know the answer.
Wendy, I'm sorry that's all the time we have to help you, but I think that's a good start. And feel free to call us back next week and let us know what happened.
We still have 30 seconds.
No, we still have 11 seconds.
Oh, I hate when it goes so fast.
That's Terry Savage. You can email Terry Savage at, just go to her website, terrysavage.com.
Post on my blog, please, the questions. I'm behind. I'll get there this weekend.
That's Terry Savage, and she'll be back here with us next Wednesday. Thank you, my friend. Maybe she'll pop in after the Fed makes an announcement here shortly as well.
I'm going to stay here and watch and see what the Fed chairman says.
She'll do that because you won't.